on him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dale, watched Chris and I, who was also in seminary with me,
office and introduced Michelle to him and me. And Dale said, these are his exact words, pointing to Chris and I, "These two guys are going to be pastors. Can you believe it?" Because we need to know, when you tell someone you're going to be a pastor, it severely limits who will date you. So Michelle and I became friends, and she agreed to go out on a date. We went to Perkins and then to see the movie Shrek. But I didn't take her to just any movie theater in Roseville, which is just north of St. Paul. I took her to the budget movie theater. The movies are $2 a piece. And in hindsight, taking a first date to a cheap budget movie theater isn't the best impression. That evening, I wanted to impress Michelle. I wanted to tell her about my college semester over in Scotland. I wanted to hear her attentively to her college semester when she was in Australia. And I wanted to make sure I didn't have anything in my teeth. It wasn't impressive or a fancy date by anyone's standards. But that's just an example of what's true of all of us. That when something begins, be it a first date, starting a new job, meeting somebody new for the first time, we want to impress because, let's be honest, we're looking out for ourselves. In essence, it's all about me. It's all about me. So here I stand before you this morning, and honestly, I want to do well. I want to put my best foot forward. I don't want to say anything ridiculous to possibly taint my relationship with you. I want to impress you and reassure you that the call committee of the church council and all of you made a good decision in calling me here to be an apostle. And then there you are, putting your best foot forward. You want to appear likable and a nice group of people that any preacher would want to live among. You want to impress me and make sure everything goes well. But behind the outward actions, you may be looking at me and thinking, "I know he has 3 kids, but he sure looks young. Boy, he sure is thin. I wonder why he decided to be that large church in Eau Claire." You may also be wondering, will he take time for me? Will he listen to my story? Will he remember my name? Will he help me be the person, the spouse, the friend, the child of God, the employee that God asks me to be? Will he help me? What will he keep the same, or what will he change at Apostles? How will he help us assess our ministries, from children to youth and adult ministries, and flourish as a congregation surrounded by large church buildings? And quite honestly, some of you are thinking, how long will his sermons be, and will they be any good? And here I am wondering, will they be patient with all the questions I have as I get settled in? Will they regularly compare me to their previous pastors? Will I have time for all? Will they take time to get to know me as a person or just regard me as the pastor? Will they receive my input, even if it's hard to hear? And how has each member here supported the mission of this congregation? Are they willing to be led and say they're willing to be led, but in actuality, all of them want to lead? Because this morning, you and me, beyond the surface, we're putting each other on trial because it's all about me. Our wants, our interests, our priorities, our goals. And this me outlook eventually becomes a limiting factor in how we live, in our marriages, our families, our relationships, in our churches. And God knew about this outlook, and he addressed it. And he does so in the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Christians in Corinth and how we are called to live as Christians. So, but to give you a framework of Paul's letter to the congregation in Corinth, now Christian conduct in daily life was at the center of Paul's letter to the Christians in Corinth. It's a letter that was about instruction and inspiration in how people are lived to follow Christ. Because Christians in Corinth at that time were divided. They were divided in what it meant to live as a follower of Christ. There was sexual sins that were rampant. They got drunk celebrating the Lord's Supper. And everything was a mess because everybody lived with this mindset of it's all about me. And then to all this, Paul writes this beautiful, impressive letter. And he writes it to remind everyone some wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you weak in weakness, timid, and trembling. And my message in my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So Paul's saying, Corinthians, when I came to you with the gospel, I didn't try to come and impress you. I put me aside and placed God in the center. What's important is not trusting in what you think is right, but trusting in what God is leading us to do. Trusting in the power of God. Because Paul is teaching that if God is our guide in how we live as spouses, individuals, employees, and as a community of faith as a church, there is not me, but a we. First, between God and you, and second, between you and others. Because Paul is simply reminding us today that in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, God removed me to shift his focus to we. And that we was you. That we was me. That we was people you don't even like. That we was that person who cut me off the track. Simply put, live as a Christian, it's about we, not me. Imagine if we got this right. Imagine that you made that phone call to restore that relationship rather than do nothing and sit and stew about how you were mistreated. Or you made more time for God each day rather than say, I'm just too busy. Or you took time with your spouse to go out on a date to nurture the we of your marriage. Imagine the Christians live with we, not me, as their God. And I know this sounds simple, but in our society, and all of us are aware of this, especially in this political season, we are surrounded by messages of we. And we are so divided. Because God has placed us in a unique time with an amazing opportunity to shed God's love and God's power where we is our focus at school, at home, at work, and in our community. So on this first Sunday with all of you, I think that's an inspiring way for us to be here. Grateful for the love of God shown in Jesus Christ, we move forward humble by God's love for you and for all. We move forward to address our challenges, but to give thanks for what God has provided. And finally, as a congregation, we move forward to live out